Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, Tony Khan destroyed on AEW Dynamite.
We'll tell you what happened after the Elite attacked Tony Khan.
We've got a story about AEW ticket seat fillers that's complete garbage. I can't wait to talk about it.
And Janelle Grant files a motion to strike Vince McMahon's preliminary statement. I'm Adam Wilborn.
I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
What a day this is, right? You know, usually we don't like to do the whole thing happens on show story to lead off.
This is different. News.
But yeah, this is very, very different indeed. You know, you might have expected a lot of things from last night's episode of Dynamite, right? Maybe you would have expected a big coming out coronation for Swerve Strickland. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would have expected Jon Moxley versus Hobbs to be like a real hard-hitting banger or whatever.
Developments for Will Ospreay after he won that awesome match with Danielson.
Exactly. You might even expect the Elite to just be a little bit prickish in the wake of their triumphs at Dynasty. But you didn't expect Tony Khan to take a pile driver, did you? Jeezy peeps, this was quite the turn of events.
What the hell was this?
So obviously Jack Perry returned to AEW at the pay-per-view. He's the scapegoat, he tore up his contract. He showed up at the beginning of the show. He was initially told get lost by security, but the Bucks were like, no, we're EVPs and this is our boy.
He's with us, yeah.
Later, they said we got some business to attend to. You're thinking, okay, maybe they're just gonna beat up FTR or something, I don't know. No, to close the show, after the IWGP World Title match, Jack Perry comes out to the ring, and he's being a little bugger.
Yes,
I almost called him a bastard. He's being a little bugger.
Yeah,
and he's standing there, and he's going, "Hey, Tony Khan, come out here. I want to work with you. I want to make this happen.
Reinstate me.
Yeah, exactly. Add me back to the roster, Chief." Tony Khan comes out. They hug. Jack Perry looks at the camera like he did at Dynasty, whatever. And then he socks Tony Khan in the gut. But wait, it doesn't end there. Out come the Young Bucks. Out comes Kaz Okada. They're all standing there like, oh no! Oh, whoa! What's happening? Whoa, we can't do this. The Young Bucks kind of hold Tony up like they're going to hit an EVP trigger. But then they're like, oh, come on,
never,
guys. Similar to what they did with Tony Schiavone a few weeks ago. Guess what? They take Tony Khan down anyway. They get him in position. They hit him with the Tony Khan driver, the former Meltzer driver.
Yeah.
It's a pile driver assisted from the top rope. They bail. They take their photo. They bail. Every bugger in the universe comes out and goes, oh no, Tony Khan took a bump.
And you mean everyone.
Everyone. Shad Khan was there. On camera for the first time since Fight for the Fallen 2019.
Jeez.
When he came out with that big check, remember?
Oh yeah!
Has he
got the All Elite graphic?
Big Shad is All Elite. But yeah, that literal build, probably the richest man to ever appear on a WWE show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On an AEW show.
AEW, sorry, he's not in, it's wrong promotion. So yeah, this is a thing that happened. I tell you what we should do, right? Before we kind of analyze this, maybe we should go over this story.
Oh, please, yes.
And then we'll take it from there.
Because I have to tell you what happened. So obviously, as Andy brilliantly recapped, he's attacked, he's beaten down, he's destroyed to close out Dynamite. Fightful Selector come through with a great report saying that he was selling the impact of this. Obviously, immediately afterwards, he's just laid out in the ring as the show goes off the air. But all through the night as well, that includes when they were shooting the parking lot brawl between Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta. Oh yeah, spoilers for whose friend Chuck is on Dynamite. That's obviously going out on Rampage. The thing was filmed earlier on, and Khan was wearing a neck brace. And some, this is one of my favourite things I've ever read. Some people within AEW have wondered if Tony Khan will wear a neck brace when appearing on camera for the NFL draft this week. Please, Tony. Continuity, first and foremost. And second of all, that would be one of the funniest things. Pan along the owners of some of the biggest football teams in the world. I don't know, after the Kraft brothers, I feel like maybe own one of them. A big famous dudes, and they're just Tony Khan there in a neck brace. And they go, of course, he was attacked on his own wrestling show this week.
Put some sunglasses and a neck brace on, you could look like Chrissy from The Sopranos just sitting there. This is crazy.
What the hell is this?
This is insane. You know what my overwhelming reaction was? Yeah. To laugh.
Yeah, I was going to say, AEW has provided some really entertaining moments. Funny, laugh out loud, funny moments over the years. Ladina Debonair, I was like, what is this? This is incredible. The variety of different skits and what have you that they've had. This is without doubt. Him, I'm going to recreate the Tony Khan bomb that he took. Boom!
The poor guy.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on television.
Because he's not a wrestler, right?
And he doesn't really know how to take a bump quite clearly.
And that, to me, made the segment better.
It was...
like, the fact that it was a bit rubbish.
If that's the way... if that's the way he thinks fights go down, one punch in the stomach. No wonder he feared for his life when Punk was on the rampage.
Oh, I know, man. That's the thing. The response to this has been really, really mixed, as you can imagine. So what I did this morning was I ran a poll on our YouTube community page.
Oh, good.
If we can flash that up on the screen. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Real simple. Two choices. It's kind of even. Thumbs up 44%, thumbs down 56%.
Okay.
So, you know, mostly negative, but not a huge margin there. Man, where to begin with this? Tony has been really restrained in using himself as an on-screen character, right? He's never been like the overbearing, overwhelming authority figure. He's never been an Eric Bischoff, a Vince McMahon, a Triple H at points, a name and authority figure, right? He's never really done that. He's mostly used himself sparingly in little backstage things. We saw him the other week with the Bucks.
Yeah.
Like, he does his big announcements that everyone takes the piss out of the poor guy.
Great!
But... I'll read a quote to you that he gave to Bloomberg 3 years ago, talking about being a TV character. He said, "No, I don't want to write myself as a TV character, but if it makes sense, I am a plot device in the show. So you'll hear my name a few times because I'm the matchmaker, I make the matches, so you'll have somebody appeal to me. I don't need to act or be on television or take up the TV time, but you do have to have a commissioner and a person who lays down the law and makes the rules." And in this situation, in this segment, he was just a plot device, right? He was used as a means to put further heat on the Bucks, on Okada, on Jack Perry, and to further the scapegoat character as well, because he was shunned away from AEW, and this guy's the boss, so this guy's writing the checks. This is the guy who would come in and decide if he can come back or not, right? So he's a plot device at the moment. I think the key thing for this, right, will be the follow-up. If this results in Tony becoming a TV character, which I don't think it will, and I don't think there are many reasons to believe that, that would obviously be not great, given the history of such things in pro wrestling in general. If it's just used as like a one-off thing that is referenced to by the Elite, I think it could work extremely well.
Or Shad Khan takes on Jack Perry, that also works.
Big Shad learns how to wrestle, get revenge for his son. Let's go. I will say that... I was kind of spoiled on this because I accidentally looked at Twitter before watching Dynamite and I was like, Tony Khan physical spot, that's going to suck. That's going to be awful. I tell you what, I thought it effing rocked. In the moment, I can't tell you if I think it's good or bad idea until we see how it goes, right?
Yeah.
So I'll reserve full judgment. But I had a great time watching this. I thought Tony's weird selling kind of added to it as well.
Like I say, I think I found large parts of this Dynamite absolutely, the best word I can find is baffling. Like, Chuck Taylor, spoilers everyone, by the way, the timestamps for the thing below, but I'm going to go through some of the major events on this show. Chuck Taylor doesn't turn heel, baffling, should be a heel.
I wanted Dustin, man.
Yeah, that's what they should have done. Big Bill wants to learn from the learning tree of Chris Jericho. What? He's Big Tag Champion!
We'll have a video on Jericho later this week, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe today.
Yeah, insane to me. I'm conflicted on the Will Ospreay stuff because I don't want him to fight for the world title straight away, but I also feel I kind of agree with Sidge with what he said on Twitter. That international championship almost feels beneath him already.
Yeah.
But I'm sure him and Roderick Strong will have a banger.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm off the more positive thing. I think maybe that'll lift the belt up.
Yeah, hopefully. Who knows? You need to keep him busy until you sense all in when he hopefully wins the world title.
Maybe they'll unify them.
Yeah.
Wembley, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that, because that was weird. I saw them go in, I think it was during the Swerve match, they were like, oh, we're going to go into Tony Khan's office, and then they said, oh, later on, they're going to... And then it got to the IWGP title match, and I went, oh, I guess I must have missed that, I guess they're going to follow that up on Collision or something. And then they flash up with the gimmick, still coming, and I was like, well, something's going to happen here then, isn't it? And the moment it came out, awkwardly, I was like, oh, what's going to happen? You don't hear that noise, by the way, but in my head, that's the noise that Tony Khan went.
I find his awkwardness on camera really endearing.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of fun because, like, obviously he's not a trained wrestler. He's not a trained actor or anything like that. He's just a rich guy having a go, giving it a shot. And it's like...
Don't get me wrong, I'm fascinated to see what happens next now.
Me too. Like, if this successfully puts even more heat on the Elite, it's a win. It's a success.
Don't forget the books are the new tag champs.
They are indeed. They are
Shad
indeed.
Shad and Tony.
So, like...
Hello.
Big challenge, the new Can Outlaws.
Yeah.
It can't be Outlaws, it's their company. What am I talking about?
The Degeneration Can.
Can Generation X,
yeah.
There you go. I can't believe we're sitting here.
Two Can, there you go.
Two Can.
Put the sunglasses on.
Hey, if the show.
Where are they?
And if they do a show in Dallas, it could be Toucan Text.
Hey!
Get it? What a whole deal this is. I mean, as always, it's pro wrestling. The follow-up will be critical. I think my favourite
X is an absolute dumpster fight.
Yeah, it really is. I'm actually going to reference X and someone I follow whose takes I really enjoy on pro wrestling. Great historical perspective. At PWO Loss, who runs wrestling playlists, which is like, if you're a history nerd like I am, fantastic. You should sign up. But he posted essentially like Memphis for years. They knew that if they used their beloved announcer, Lance Russell, and they had him get his ass kicked, basically, it would sell out any building. It would be a huge critical success because he was so beloved and all of that stuff. But Jerry Jarrett ultimately chose not to do that because it might become a crutch.
Yeah.
Right? It might be, hey, we need a business boost, let's just beat up Lance Russell. And obviously, if you do these things over and over, again, they lose impact. So the great hope is that AEW, if this is really successful, they don't just go a year from now, beat up Tony again, it's fine.
I mean, actually, no, do, because it's really funny. The Tony Khan makes a huge announcement, has lost all of its luster and certainly lost its drawing power in terms of the ratings. Tony Khan gets beaten up.
Yeah.
I'll be shooting it live.
From huge announcements to huge ass beatings, the Tony Khan transformation. Hey, look,
what is this story of yours?
Oh, you want to talk about
this? Oh, sorry, I thought that's what you were moving on to.
Well, I was just going to wrap it up by saying I was thoroughly entertained. I had a great time,
yes.
And that's the name of the game, right? I think we've covered every angle
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. Look, it's all subjective. People seem to forget that you can like things and other people could not like things, and that's fine because it's all subjective. Nevertheless, we'll get Simon Miller's take on it on Ups and Downs later on today.
He's going to love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And me and Sid will give our thoughts on the Dynamite review a little bit later on today on the podcast channel as well.
Yeah, great time across the board. I tell you what, he has given his haters a lot of ammo with this. Eric Bischoff's going to have a great week, isn't he? Cheesy peeps. Why do we keep listening to guys who put majorly successful promotions out of business? I have no idea.
You'll be surprised to find out that I saw on X that Bischoff, not a fan of the Ospreay-Danielson match. You haven't seen that one.
Oh, wow, boom, who could have known?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable.
That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
We're not covering this story earnestly because it's BS, right? But I think that when something like this comes out that's so transparently nonsensical, I do think that as people who have a platform, we should come out here and shoot these things down every now and then.
Yeah, this isn't stand up for AEW. This is just, I don't think people, from what I've seen, if you're about to say what I think you're about to say, the people who are throwing mud at this, right, or using this to throw mud, as Sean Ross Sapper said, don't know what seat fillers are.
Yeah, this is it, right? So this report has come out, and it came out on the day that AEW are holding this event in Daly's Place, right? It's from Action News Jax, which is a Jacksonville news outlet, a gentleman by the name of Ben Becker, dropping this story.
Boris's brother, of course.
Oh.
That's a nice story, Ben.
The cheesy peeps.
Sorry, right.
I'll read the core element of it to you. All Elite Wrestling, once the darling of the internet wrestling community, has received heavy scrutiny in recent months for its creative direction and now appears to need help filling the stands in his hometown. Action News Jax obtained an internal City of Jacksonville email from the Military Affairs and Veterans Department, which says they are looking for 50 people per night to attend as fillers. So what do those two paragraphs suggest to you? They suggest that AEW is so desperate for people to come in that they need 50 people to come in and sit in the seats, right?
Weirdly specific number, if that's the case.
Couple problems with this, right? This is, at best, a very slanted misinterpretation of what a crowd filler actually is.
Yes.
A crowd filler is a person who, when a seat on a hard cam becomes unoccupied because the person who was in it goes up to get some snacks, maybe go to the toilet, maybe just, I don't know, go for a cigarette, whatever the heck you do when you're out your chair, get a hot dog. They come in, they sit in the seat, and when the person comes back, they bugger off,
yes.
Right? Everybody uses them.
The Oscars.
The bloody Oscars use them. AEW uses them all the time. Guess who else uses them all the time?
WE.
Yes. Everyone. So they're totally normal. It's not this out of the ordinary thing. AEW, these losers. Everybody, the Oscars, for goodness sake.
I'll tell a story about the Brit Awards in a second, right? The Brit Awards, which is a big music awards ceremony in the UK, if you're not aware, uses them. But especially this makes sense with this week's Dynamite in Daly's Place, because they have that. It's not just like the usual big sea of people. There is, what would you say, Andy? 150 people?
Something like that, yeah.
Like a line of, say, maybe three or four rows of chairs, which you saw specifically, like, the perfect example, and the clip that I've seen people using is like, aha, seat fillers, is when Jericho's cutting that promo, right?
Fair play, to be honest. Right. Yeah.
Surprised it wasn't just the sea of seat. Oh, Jericho's here. This is the time to get hot.
Do I have enough seat fillers?
I want to have a drink in my hair when I see Tony can't get his ass handed to him. Anyway, but... yeah, they're there. It's such a, like, understandable. Whatever company you run, you don't want people going, why are there like 20 spare seats behind him? It's obviously because it's midway through the show and people, you don't just want to sit there for 2 hours without going for a piss or a hot dog or whatever, right? Lewis Capaldi, a very famous British musician here, once tried to get moved on from his seat because they thought he was a seat filler at the Brit Awards. They were like, I'll take him for a minute, buddy. And he was like, I'm up for an award in a minute. But they literally use them at award ceremonies because, yeah, they don't want anyone. Oscars, Brit Awards, Grammys, AEW, WWE. They don't want, if it's a tight shot of a small amount of crowd, there to just be empty seats because it doesn't look good. Yeah. That doesn't mean they're going, Oh, thank God for filling those seats for us.
Yeah.
Especially Jacksonville.
It's completely unhinged. And, you know, look, AEW's attendances are not in a great place at the moment. That's not, like, that's out there. We know that. They went up a little bit in Q4, but they've since declined in Q1 2024. So, you know, the attendances are what they are. But at the same time, that's why this kind of spin is so effective. Mm. Also, by the way, Dax Harwood pointing out that, yeah, they did give out 50 tickets for veterans.
Yeah.
My God, like, what are we doing? Why are we twisting these things around? It is quite interesting that this came out on the same, well, no, it was a week before, that Joe Lanza of Voices of Wrestling put out just an excellent piece of audio highlighting the strength of the WWE PR machine and, like, the lengths that company goes to get positive messages about one company and negative messages about other ones out there. Look at these Fast Nationals that come out.
Oh, yeah.
They only seem to come out when Rampage and Collision are down. Have you ever noticed that? It's funny. And how it's created this, like, cottage industry where it is really easy for some people to just go, AEW's bad. Whereas actually, sometimes it's really great and sometimes, yeah, it maybe isn't so great and it's worthy of criticism or whatever. And the role of Chris Gentle, the WWE PR guy, he's Nick Khan's right-hand man and all of that stuff. It's a really good piece of work. I'd encourage you to check it out. It's linked in our news article on this story. But the core tenet of PR, a lot of the times, is to distract people from bad stuff.
Mm.
This. Here you go. More developments.
More developments with the Janelle Grant, Vince McMahon story. We did a lot on this yesterday, myself and Hamper, if you want to go and check that out. But on Wednesday, Grant's attorneys filed a motion to strike against what they call inflammatory lies made in McMahon's memorandum. We talked a lot about that yesterday. Grant's motion says that the statements were made used as a platform to launch vicious falsehoods attacking Janelle's moral character in an attempt to harass and intimidate her into submission. The motion further states, McMahon's easily refuted lies have no place in this case. It was not necessary, reasonable, or responsible to use a public filing to impugn Janelle's moral character. Indeed, McMahon's desperate attempt to distract from the legal substance of the motion highlight its weakness and the weaknesses of his overall case. This is him referring to, like, the letter that she wrote him and basically saying, well, effectively saying that this shouldn't be a public hearing from what I can gather, and all this should be taken away from scrutiny by the public. This court has inherent power to strike a party's filings. Accordingly, Janelle respectfully requests that the court exercise that power to strike the motion's preliminary statement in its entirety and admonish McMahon and his counsel that such statements have no place in civil litigation. In a statement released to Post Wrestling, McMahon's lawyer, Jessica T. Rosenberg, issued a response to Grant's motion to strike, saying, plaintiff had no right to bring this case in a public court, but she did so anyway. Now that she chose this public forum to falsely accuse Mr. McMahon, she wants to silence his ability to respond. She can't have it both ways.
Yeah, there we go. Obviously, we don't sit here and editorialize these things. But this story is going to continue to develop. It's something that isn't going away, obviously, and we will continue to report it as these things transpire, because it's our duty to do so.
Indeed.
So,
as we always say, belief survivors. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE on X. Of course, you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Eddie Zamari. Only one place to start, Andy. Hey guys, let's have some fun with the wild ending of AEW Dynamite.
Already have.
What is Tony Khan's signature and finisher moves if he makes a one-off in-ring debut match? Shouldn't be one-off, should be world champion by this time next year.
His signature move is a space flying tiger drop. It's the most stupid...
Space-flying Tony drop.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry, Eddie suggests the Tony Destroyer, a Canadian destroyer, and the Tony Splash.
Canadian destroyer.
You can't escape. You can't see me.
Can handle slam. There you go.
Very good.
There's another one. Can Hansen lariat. There you are. We got a whole moveset here.
Drop Tony hold. That'd be a great finish, you just a drop toe hold. Oh, it's one.
Cheesy peeps. What else we got?
Burning Tony?
The Burning Tony. Imagine Tony Khan hitting a burning hammer. That's really cool. Like, who's he doing it on? Brian Cage. Whee!
Up you go, buddy. I don't know if you're strong enough. Well, you're going to have to boost me a little bit then.
Gonna give it a go, Chief. Yeah, I think that's a nice little collection.
The Learning Tony.
Oh, okay.
We can join Big Bill in listening to Chris Jericho for some reason.
Jesus.
I mean, if he isn't a character on Fight Forever, come on, guys, get on it.
Yeah, come on. Like, what? Oh, gee whiz.
His finishers should just be jab in the stomach. He's learned from Mega Man.
He's absorbed his opponent's moves. Oh, man. But, like, you know what?
T5. He gets a Robert and does an F5.
TK Driller, tribute to Jay Briscoe.
Yes.
Why not? Oh, jeez.
What about the greatest moonsault ever?
Is there something we can incorporate 9 days into?
Oh!
I don't know. 9 day driller? Nah, I've already used that, haven't I? Let us know in the comment section below, because I've got no idea whatsoever. Drill Claw, Brian Cage's move, could be the White Claw, because he loves his white claws, doesn't he?
He does the 10 beats of the Bodrum, and he just calls it 9 days, and you count up with him. One, two, three, nine.
And then he flips everyone off, because he's a bad mother effer. I love it. You know what, folks? Like, all seriousness, if Tony Khan does one silly move in all of this, I would pop huge for that. If you could show him how to do, like, a flip dive.
I was about to say, I want him to do a jump from the top turnbuckle to the outside onto a pile of bodies.
Yeah.
Relatively safe that, but him going through the air would be...
It would be fun. Like, Rick Knox did that stuff in PWG.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, he'd just get tired of the Young Bucks giving him... And he would go, screw you guys, I'm going to do a Canadian Destroyer. And it was really funny. And I know some people
Bad Bunny did a Canadian Destroyer, didn't he? I still remember who did it. Yeah.
Some people are going to be like, no, you got to respect the business, but I just want to have fun, man.
Yeah.
I just want to have fun.
James Duffin gives us more of a statement than a question, but I want to use it as a jumping off point. He says, AEW's women's division is fire right now. So many stories and threads. Mariah May's love triangle, Anna Jay's a sore loser, Deeb Storm, Thunder Diana, the most overrated / overhyped signing ever, burying the TBS division. So much is going on. Yeah, I do want to actually use this space. It's really oscillating news today, burying whatever's going on AEW, but also praising at the same time. But we're getting two Rolexes, one from AEW and one from WWE every single day. So that's
every
good.
Single.
But I will say they are doing some great work in that women's division, because it used to be, I mean, it's still only one women's match on the card for the time being on Dynamite, but they are giving plenty more time to a variety of different storylines, and all storylines don't just rotate around a title, thankfully.
Yeah, it's good. It is good. Like, I agree. Like, I would like to see more substantial matches involving the best wrestlers in the division. I would like to see Serena Deeb going 10, 15 minutes, you know, on the show, and then Shida doing the same. And then, hey, maybe Athena could show up and like,
well,
you know.
500 days she passed as ROH champion.
She did, yeah.
The other day. Good for
she
her.
She did. I'd like to see more from the in-ring, obviously. More than one match would be nice.
I think we will get, I hope we would get more of that when Monet's cleared and wrestling regularly.
I hope so. But yeah, you're dead right in the number of storylines going on at once. It's genuinely good stuff. It's good progress. They're featuring some really good people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really enjoy the Willow and Chris Statlander kind of friendship / gonna be tension at some point.
Inevitable betrayal.
I think that the Mercedes stuff so far has been really weak. The debut was good, but the promos do come off very, very WWE scripted. I think she probably needs to pivot into something else, but I am reserving full judgment until she wrestles, because she's one of my favorite wrestlers.
That's her strong point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. But yeah, it is funny how it's like one of the most, like, she came in, obviously huge popular reaction from Mercedes Moni, and that's like, let's have a feud initially with one of the most perfect baby faces in all of wrestling.
Yeah. And it's just like, the promos, they're just like catchphrase. It's like a sequence of pre-prepared statements, and it doesn't come across organic. So, look, I am a huge fan of Mercedes. Like, I loved Sasha Banks. I really enjoyed her post-WWE run. I want her to do incredible things, because she's legitimately one of my favorite wrestlers, but this run hasn't been great so far. Reserving judgment till we see the match.
Yeah, wait till after Double or Nothing.
Division in general, pretty good place right now. Jamie Hayter, hope you're well. Come back soon.
Happy and a belated happy birthday for the other day. I saw that on X.
Final
question today comes from Daniel Bishop, who says, with the world title seemingly wrapped up, this is in WWE, with the world title seemingly wrapped up for months to maybe a year's worth of challenges, what would you guys think of Gunther somehow making his way to becoming the longest running US champion of all time?
I think him versus Logan Paul would actually be really good. Imagine him just chopping the crap. Like, imagine him no-selling a Prime Bottles interference. It'd be so good. Just chop his head off. Just get out of here, you idiot. I'd really enjoy that. Yeah, I'm sold.
Yeah. Like, you're right. It's a bit like Ospreay in a very different way. you've got to kind of keep Gunther busy because he ain't challenging Cody straight out of gate or Priest or whoever, you know, whoever ends up being world champion in the next few months because when he fights for it, he's going to win it. Yeah. And Cody ain't dropping it anytime soon. And it would look really bad on Priest if he did, hence why they're going in different directions.
He's dropping it in Scotland, brother.
Yes. But, and also you've got Drew's got to win a world title. And, you know, you want Cody to hold that for a while. And what's going on with The Rock and Roman? So you need him to do something. I don't know, maybe US title. I mean, he's done wonders for that IC title. Yeah. I don't think the US title is in as bad a situation as the IC title was a few years back.
I'm going to find out who the longest reigning one is because I don't know off the top of my head.
US champion, yeah, that's a good question. But unquestionably, Logan Paul versus Gunther would be one of the funniest matches. And also, probably one of the best.
Yeah.
Like, Logan Paul doesn't have bad matches. He may be slightly disappointed with the Ricochet one at SummerSlam, but it wasn't a bad match.
Yeah.
He's perfect for this. And arguably, if Gunther went straight after him right now, that frees Logan Paul up to win the thing I really want him to win. Not the world title, the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Absolutely.
Because that would terrify everyone. You thought it was bad when we were going into WrestleMania where Cody's going to win the world title with Damian Priest with the briefcase. Imagine Logan Paul ending Cody's story. Mwah.
So we got two records, really. I guess you can pick and choose whichever one you want to use, right? Dean Ambrose is the longest in WWE. 351 days.
They're going to want to get rid of that one.
They are. But the top one from WCW/the NWA, whatever, is Lex Luger.
Ooh.
523 days. Which one would you go for? I mean, the Ambrose one's easier, and your WWE. You can be selective with your history. You do that all the time when it comes to records.
Roman was going
to
beat Hogan's record, which wasn't a record. So
Yeah, third place. Good job, buddy. Nice record you got there. But look, this was a completely insane video.
Yes. And guess what? We got another one coming your way later on today.
Yeah, we'll maybe keep that one a bit more serious. I don't know. But hey, you can check this video out right here. It's going to be whatever the algorithm decides is best for you.
Ooh, it's a mystery.
If it's not best for you, phone up YouTube and go, listen, punk. Sort it out. But yeah, check this out. You're going to love it. We love you.
Bye. Mwah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.